Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Approach Good Shepherd Sunday, according to the three-year lectionary, and we see this very strong and enduring image of Christ and his love for, well, his whole flock, but also for every individual sheep. There's even a hymn that talks about that love, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be studying this hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Dr. Arthur Just joins us. He is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, co-author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Nice to be with you today.
Biblically, why do the concepts of king and shepherd go together?
Well, they both refer to David. And David, of course, is the author of the psalm that we love so much, Psalm 23. And he is the great king of Israel and is, in many ways, the one who foreshadows the coming of the final messianic king, Jesus. So the shepherd here is David the king. And you can see also that Jesus himself embodies both of those, that he is our good shepherd, and he is the king of the Jews, the king of the world.
What do people find so comforting about the concept of the good shepherd?
You know, it's got to be the most prominent image we have of what it means to be pastored by God through his shepherds who are called and ordained to bring the gifts of Christ to people. I think the image comes most prominently from the fact that we are sheep, and sheep need somebody to guide them and lead them and protect them and take care of them. And Jesus certainly tapped into this. I mean, not only in John chapter 10, which is where we get the most prominent image, and the texts that we usually use in association with Good Shepherd Sunday. But you also find it in Luke chapter 15, where you have the lost sheep and the shepherd going out to find the lost sheep. And that notion of being a sheep that, you know, when it's lost is completely sort of paralyzed and can't move, and the shepherd has to pick it up and put it on his shoulders. We'll see that image in this hymn. It's one of the great images of what God does in bearing our sins and carrying our sorrows. Psalm 23 is just kind of emblazoned in the memory of Christians around the world, and even people who are not Christian. I think almost everybody knows Psalm 23 in some aspect or other. And the fact that Jesus describes himself through all the I ams, I am the good shepherd in John's gospel is, I think, the one that stands in the center and is at the heart of what we see in Jesus and what we see in our pastors in the church.
What do we know about the author of this hymn?
Well, Henry Baker wrote this hymn in the 19th century. And everybody, I mean, all the other people even who wrote hymns about Psalm 23, and I think it is the most, it's the psalm or maybe any biblical text that is more written about in a hymn form than any other. But even authors who have written hymns on Psalm 23 will acknowledge that Henry Baker's version is the most beautiful, the most poetic, that it really captures the poetry of of our English language. It's a paraphrase, of course, but it is one of the most beautiful of all the countless versions of Psalm 23. He became known for this hymn, and it's interesting, on his deathbed, his final words were to cite this hymn. It was this hymn that he recited just before he died. So it clearly was a hymn that impressed itself upon him as being maybe the best thing you can say when you're about to meet the Lord.
Obviously, being a paraphrase of Psalm 23, that's its primary biblical text. Are there any others that you mentioned a few before that come to mind?
Yeah, there are. I mean, I certainly think Luke 15, especially in verse 3, seeking the lost sheep and putting it on your shoulders. John 10, of course, and especially John 10, 14, that we see in the first verse, I am his and he is mine forever. And all of John 10, I think, is certainly in with and under this hymn. But I also think there is a sense here with the cross, the rod and the staff, and the cross, that we have this image of our co-crucifixion with Christ in holy baptism. And so Galatians 2:20, I think, is also part and parcel of this. Finally, how can we not think of Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's all kinds of biblical allusions here, but certainly Psalm 23, John 10, and Luke 15 are the primary ones.
The first stanza of The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever." Would you highlight in that first stanza?
Well, we've talked about king and shepherd, but we didn't mention that it's the King of Love. And I think certainly the number one attribute of God, and certainly God as our king and our shepherd, is the attribute of love. And love is what we see in the shepherd, who loves his sheep so much that he's willing to lay down his life for them. I think here, John 16:11 is so important. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this is an expression of his goodness. And if he loves us so much that he's willing to lay down his life for us, then he is love is such that it will continue and shower us with blessings, even though sometimes we feel as if we're suffering. We know that he is with us and we are with him, that I am his and he is mine. Here you can hear Jesus in, again, chapter 16 of John, where he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. And I think that is the most important thing, that the voice of the shepherd is the voice that we need to hear. It's the voice that we follow. And when we hear that voice, we know that it's a voice of somebody who knows us and whose goodness will follow us all our days, and that we are forever his because he has given up his life for us.
Go a little deeper into that idea, I am his and he is mine. Jesus speaks about that relationship with his disciples in the Gospels.
He does, and he compares his knowing of us and our knowing of him to the Father's knowing of him and he knowing the Father. And that sense of being his is a sense of our identity, that we are, and we're going to see many references to baptism in this hymn, that in baptism, we come to know who we are in Christ, and that, to use a phrase that we don't always use, but I think it's a legitimate one, he claims us in the waters of holy baptism. He makes us his child, and we are now his children forever. And we have a union with him, a communion with his flesh that makes us his very own. And so, as Luther would say, you are my little Christs, you know, you are properly called Christs because I am his and he is mine. He dwells in me and I dwell in him. And this comes from that intimate knowledge that we have because we have been joined to him in holy baptism, and we have this union of his flesh with our flesh.
I think about Jesus' high priestly prayer, where his prayer for his disciples is that they may be one, even as he and the Father are one. I believe your colleague there, Dr. Weinrich, talks about that as this, Jesus is describing there, the mystical union.
It's one of the great mysteries and one of the great comforts that there is, that we have unity with the Holy Trinity in a way that makes us one flock with our one shepherd. That's the final verse of the gospel lesson for this Sunday. And it's, I think, very important to see that unity is what the flock has when it has the one shepherd whose voice it hears and whose voice it follows.
The first phrase of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, the first conclusion that is drawn there, and in the words of the hymn writer, I nothing lack, or in the psalmist's words, I shall not want. What does that mean?
When you have Jesus, you have everything. You have the Creator and the Redeemer of the world. You have your redemption. You have eternal life. You have forgiveness of sins. You've been saved from your enemies. There really is nothing in this world that you could want beyond that. I mean, this is one of the things that I think a lot of people don't fully realize in this world, that to be in Christ, everything else is secondary, because everything that you could possibly need or want is taken care of in him. Now, even when we are in physical want or hungry or sick, we know that because we've been joined to him, we have something that is far greater than any worldly concern. And this union with Christ is one that lasts forever. So there is nothing that we will lack in this world if we have that trust and that confidence that he is ours and we are his.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We are studying the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, the second stanza, when we come back, where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by purchasing a cell phone case from Crossway, crosswehh.com/LPR. You'll find cell phone cases for issues, etc., Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Luther's Seal with the Reformation Solas. Cross weh.com/LPR. A percentage of your purchase will support issues, etc. Cross weh.com/LPR.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Christians face a culture that is hostile to Christianity. How does the gospel shape our understanding of what it is to be human, of marriage and family, of Christian vocation, of how we confess Christ? Christ and Culture, Catechesis on the Apostles' Creed is the theme for this year's symposium of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, June 19th through the 21st, at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Register today at peacesussex.org/CCA.
Hope for Healing, April 19th and 20th in Irvine, California, is a conference designed to address the issue of gender brokenness and more. Hope for Healing is for high school and college youth, as well as adults. Join Y for Life and Lutherans for Life to find out what makes your body a good gift and what happens when gender is disordered. Learn more and register at yforlife.org. Hope for Healing, April 19th and 20th in Irvine, California. Y4life.org. The second stanza of the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. We are studying this hymn with Dr. Arthur Just. Dr. Just, what would you bring out of this second stanza?
Well, you know, we didn't mention the tune here, and it's an Irish tune, St. Columba. And it certainly has a feel for what we would consider to be the beautiful green pastures of Ireland. And it, I mean, you really get a sense here of how this beautiful world in which we live comes to us from the Creator himself, who leads us to streams of living waters, who shows us these verdant pastures. But when you look at it, I mean, the living water is something that we think of when we think of holy baptism, that, you know, water that gives life is the water that washes us clean in the name of the Holy Trinity. And our ransomed soul, there, of course, the language of ransom reminds us of what Jesus did, the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. But that becomes our reality when we are baptized, that this is who we are now. And he leads us to a place of peace, of this beautiful green pasture. They say that green is the most soothing color for the eyes, which is why most of the world, you know, is green. And yet what we also see in these verdant pastures is the food that gives life. And this verse just remarkably starts with baptism and ends with the celestial food of the Lord's Supper that feeds us from the verdant pastures that the Good Shepherd leads us to. So it's, in many ways, it's, for me, the most beautiful of the verses. It's the one that gives the greatest comfort. I mean, I'm looking out over the chapel here at Concordia Theological Seminary at a very green lawn and a beautiful lake. And I can't help but think that most people, you know, when they think of a place of rest and calm, it's by a body of water, a lake with a green pasture that flows before them. And in many ways, it's an image of paradise, of the Garden of Eden, you know, this thing that was created by God in the beginning and something that is promised, for example, to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And so this verse shows us that those living waters, that verdant paradise, comes to us when we are washed clean with the living water of baptism and fed with the celestial food of the Eucharist.
And it builds on that theme established there in the first stanza, I nothing lack. This is his eternal provision for his people, isn't it?
Yes, there's nothing more that we could ask for. This is the fullness of what God wants to give us. What I think is so remarkable about the 23rd Psalm and then hymns like this is it does capture what almost every human being would say is that place of rest and repose and peace and calm and comfort that we all yearn for and long for.
The third stanza, perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Dr. Just, this stanza is not from Psalm 23.
No, this is definitely Luke 15, the first part of that beautiful chapter where you have the three parables of the lost and the found. This is a beautiful paraphrase of that entire parable of the sheep that is lost. And I think Henry Baker tells us that the sheep may have been lost just because he's a dumb sheep, but here he puts it in our own humanity. It's our perversion, our foolishness that causes us to stray. And I think everybody can identify with that in some way in their life where they get off track. The road isn't straight, it's crooked, and they fall off the side and they wander away. And what's wonderful about the parable in Luke 15 and this verse is that the shepherd goes out to seek the lost sheep. He leaves the 99 behind and goes and gets that one sheep that is lost. And as I said earlier, I'm told that when sheep are afraid and they're lost like that, they lock up. You can't get them to move. So the only way to restore the sheep is the burden of restoration, of putting that sheep on your shoulders and bringing him back to the flock, where there is great rejoicing, joy over one sinner who repents than over 99 self-righteous who are in no need of repentance, so they think. And I think this notion of the shepherd restoring the sheep to the flock by bearing it on his shoulders is one of the most vivid images of what happens on the cross and in the atonement, that Jesus bears our sins, that he carries our diseases, that he is the one who is the sin bearer from the moment he is conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And one of my quiz questions in Luke class is, what is the image of the atonement in Luke 15 and its burden and restoration? And this verse, I think, is so beautifully placed in this hymn. We're having talked about the living waters and the verdant pastures and the celestial food. He goes to the fact that there is a moment where we do get lost, and that the shepherd, the reason why he is the good shepherd, the reason why he loves us, is that he will go anywhere to find us and bring us home.
What do we make of that 99 that are left in the field?
They're the ones, I mean, who, at least in the statement by Jesus, the 99 righteous persons who need no need of repentance, I think he's speaking there of a context in which the religious establishment, the vast majority of the Pharisees, for example, I mean, they felt that they were worthy on their own and they didn't need to repent. But what Jesus does, and this is a great Lucan theme, and these verses in chapter 15 show us that Jesus came for the tax collectors and sinners. They're the ones who recognize him as the Christ. They're the ones that he seeks and finds and has table fellowship with. The prodigals, the tax collector in the parable of the tax collector and Pharisee, the one who gets down on his face and says, "Have mercy upon me." What he really is saying is, "Lord, make atonement for me," because he's praying in the temple during the atonement sacrifices. And the Pharisee is saying, you know, I've done all the things I need to do to be worthy. I'm not like all these other people. I tithe, I do all these things. And I think in some ways the greatest danger is to become like those 99 self-righteous who don't feel they need to repent. It's that lost sheep. It's that prodigal. It's that tax collector. It's the woman who comes and washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. These are the ones who see in Jesus the Savior, the one who came to seek and to save the lost.
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," with Dr. Arthur Jess, Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Theological Seminary forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Find out about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And of course, the sheep does not come back on its own. He doesn't even lure the sheep. He carries it back. We'll talk about that next.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church holds that it is God who raises up men to serve His holy bride through His office of the holy ministry. At Concordia University Chicago, we prepare men to take the first step on the path by which God leads them to His pastoral office. Are you ready to take the step? I'm Dr. James Ambrose Lee, Chair of the Division of Theology at Concordia University Chicago. Learn more about the pre-seminary program at CUC by visiting cuchicago.edu, cuchicago.edu.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-Centered Worship, Confessional Theology, Lutheran Community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. One more thought on that third stanza, this on his shoulder gently laid. I notice Jesus does not lure the sheep back to the pasture, but he goes and gets it.
Yeah, because we can't come on our own. We need him to come and get us if we're a sheep. Even the prodigal, I mean, he comes back for the wrong reasons. I mean, he comes back because he's hit rock bottom. But he said, you know, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. His first repentance says, make me a hired servant. I'll work my way back, you know. That's good Pharisaical repentance. But when the father runs to him, throws his arms around him and kisses him and shows him this love, he's overwhelmed by grace. And then his confession is, Father, I have sinned against you before heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And that's the end of it. He doesn't say anything about, you know, somehow making his way back by working his way, you know, and paying off his debt. So there is a sense where the father has to come to us. The shepherd has to seek us and bring us home. And, you know, Todd, that notion of home is, I think, one of the most powerful images. Everybody is seeking a home, and we have that home with our good shepherd.
Stanza 4. In death's dark vale, I fear no ill. With thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Mentioned before that he interpolates the cross here as part of Christ's guidance of the Christian. Talk more about that.
Well, I think there is no greater comfort than that of the cross of Christ crucified, because there we see the love of God. There we see how in Christ God is loving us in a way that we really cannot comprehend. And, you know, the verse here captures the psalm so beautifully. As you know, in the psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God does not promise to take us around the shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death. We do go through it. You know, we are in death's dark veil. But he promises to be with us when we are in the valley of the shadow of death. And this is why we have no reason to fear. He is beside us. I think it's remarkable that the author here, Henry Baker, takes the rod and the staff as a reference to the cross. This is the comfort we receive as Christ's cross goes before us to guide us. I always think of the hymn, you know, for all the saints, that Jesus is our captain in the well-fought fight. Why is that? because he has conquered death with his death on a cross. He carries that cross before him, which is why we have processional crosses, because that is what takes us to the verdant pasture of the altar, where we receive the celestial food of the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, who gave up his life for us. And we feed there on his flesh that he has offered up for us, laying down his life for us as the good shepherd. So this is a marvelous verse that captures the comfort that we have in the cross of Christ when we are dying.
It's almost a picture of Jesus making his way through death into life and then coming back and leading us the same way.
He is the one who shows us the way, and he is the one who goes before us on every level. He's the one who goes into the wilderness for us and is tempted by the devil for us. He is the one who enters the tomb for us and then conquers it, which we're celebrating this Easter, that he conquers death by his death. The great image of the resurrection and Easter is the empty tomb, that the tomb is not filled with the dead body of Jesus because he has risen. You can see in his body the wounds of his suffering. And that shows you that he went through the valley of the shadow of death for us. And on the cross, as he suffered, he prayed the Psalms. He prayed the 23rd Psalm. He prayed Psalm 118, and he prayed Psalm 31 and Psalm 69. He probably prayed the entire Psalter because he knew that this was the word of God that gives him the comfort when he's in the midst of suffering, when he's in the midst of death's dark veil. And even though he suffered just the worst suffering ever, the most horrific moment, the most violent moment the world has ever known, he did not fear because the Lord was with him. The Lord was beside him. And even though he does say, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Lord was with him as he had the word of God, the word that he himself is the author of. And he used that word. He used it in the wilderness to defeat Satan, and he used it on the cross to conquer death by his death.
Here's the fifth stanza of The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Thou spreadst the table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. Dr. Just, what is this stanza describing?
Well, it begins with a table that is spread, and it ends with the chalice flowing. And so you can't help but think that he is laying out for us from the 23rd Psalm the fact that what the Lord as our shepherd leads us to is a table where we receive the heavenly food of his body and blood. But in the middle, there's a reference to unction. Thine unction grace bestoweth. And in the ancient church, one of the key things that happened in baptism was that after being washed in the font, you were anointed with this sweet-smelling oil called chrism, which is from the same word as Christ, because you are now his anointed one. You are now his Christ. And that beautiful smell would cover you, and they'd put a robe on you. And the smell of Easter in the ancient church was the smell of the newly baptized who had been washed and delivered from death into life and anointed with this magnificent, sweet-smelling savor that flowed into the congregation and up to God. And because you were washed and because you were anointed, you were now invited to this table that is spread for you. And in those ancient churches, especially in the fourth century, in a place like Jerusalem, Cyril of Jerusalem describes the font as paradise, where you are washed and anointed and clothed with this garment that is the garment of the wedding feast of the heavenly banquet. And then as you come into the church and join the baptized for the Lord's Supper, you're entering into the heavenly place, that this is where the earthly and heavenly liturgy are joined together in the person of Jesus. And you can just imagine what transport of delight that was for the newly baptized to come into this place and then to receive this heavenly food. It's interesting, in the ancient church, you received a cup of water to remind you of your baptism, a cup of milk and honey to remind you that you have entered the promised land, and this is the pablum, so to speak, of the newly baptized, the infants now who have been washed clean, and then a cup of wine, which was the means by which the chalice of Christ's blood was given to those who had just been washed and anointed in baptism. So, this is a culminating verse, and it can't help but remind us of the fact that the most vivid image of heaven is the marriage feast of the Lamb and its kingdom, which has no end. And there a table will be spread in our sight, and we will come clothed, you know, with the robe of righteousness that covers us because we are those who have been anointed as Christ's very own. And what delight we'll have at that heavenly banquet, where the chalice that flows for us is the chalice that comes from the hands of the crucified and risen and glorified Christ.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We are studying the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," the sixth stanza after the break. "And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever."
O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, I bind unto myself today. O little flock, fear not the foe. Hi, this is Pastor Will Whedon inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Hymns for the Battle. Making the Case is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
What is chastity? Chastity can be defined, says Stephanie Neugebauer, as submitting the whole self, particularly one's sexual self, to God's good design and purposes. If you want to learn more about what it means to be chaste, to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, in which we discuss chaste community. Visit cph.org/witness to order a copy, or visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
That's the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Take us through that final stanza.
Well, because we are baptized and anointed and fed, we have the Lord's goodness throughout our entire life, the length of all our days. And if only we could remember that, especially in the times when we are suffering, when we are lonely, where there is a darkness, where the world seems to overcome us. His goodness faileth never. That's in the very first verse, and now it's here in the last verse. That this is what he gives us, a goodness that is without end. And I love that we're singing his praise to the Good Shepherd because we're in his house. And, you know, you don't think of the shepherd as having a house per se. You think of him having maybe a pasture and his flock is within, you know, a fenced-in area. But really what Henry Baker has been talking about in this entire hymn is our life in the church, our life in the divine service, our life where we enter by baptism and we hear his word, we follow the voice of our shepherd, and he feeds us at a table that is spread for us with glorious spiritual, celestial food. And it is in this house that we see our beginning and our end, that it's, even though, you know, we leave the house and go back into the world, we go back with Christ in us, and we go back into the world as people who already now have eternity, have eternal life, and that this goes with us throughout the length of our days. So it's, I think, is a hymn that shows us the beauty of what it means to be somebody who regularly feeds upon the word and the sacrament of Christ in our worship together in God's house, in his church, where Christ dwells for us with all the gifts that he could possibly give, with the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation.
Let's hear the entire hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Oh,
Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this hymn.
One of my favorite Spanish painters is a man by the name of Bartolomé Esteban Murillo. And there is a painting of his in the Prado in Madrid that I love to visit. I even have a copy of it in my house, of a young Jesus with a lamb. And the face of Jesus is like many of the cherubic faces of Murillo. It's a face of comfort and a hope. And the title of the painting is The Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those are some of the most familiar and comforting words in all of Scripture. And what we learn from this beautiful hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd is that our good shepherd has the power to lay down his life for us. That is the good news that we're going to hear as we sing this hymn, this Good Shepherd Sunday. And when we sing this hymn, we're also reminded that because he loves us, he has washed us with living water. He has brought us into green pastures that flow with celestial food, and that throughout the life that we live, the length of all our days, his goodness is always there for us. And so we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He goes with me in the valley of the shadow of death. He is mine, and I am his. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we rejoice that he has laid down his life for us.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. These resources are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Just, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. A blessed Good Shepherd Sunday.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss a Christian sport writer's perspective on faith and sports with John Strage, and we'll talk with Pastor Sean Denzer about praying for the church and for the world. On Friday, we'll have Pastors Brian Wolfmiller and Brian Ketchelmeyer respond to your unanswered Bible questions, and we'll get a review of the movie Ghostbusters Frozen Empire with Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
The Lord has redeemed his people.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.